Reading this morning is found in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, starting with verse number 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it's shameful to even speak of those things which are done with them in secret. But all things are exposed, are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore says he, awake you who sleep, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil.
Good morning. Appreciate the songs that were led a moment ago and the scripture reading. Both relate very well to what we want to study about this morning. You may have noticed that there is a great contrast between light and darkness. And just a little light cancels out a lot of darkness. And in the beginning, it was very dark. Until God said, let there be light. And there was light. But you see, light and dark is so much more than just the physical. According to the scriptures, we also find a contrast spiritually. When one is in darkness, one is walking in sin. When one comes to the light, he begins to live a righteous life, doing the things that God would have him to do. And as we have just read, here in verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says that you were once darkness. Each and every one of us, at some point in our lives, perhaps some might even still be, are in the darkness. When you go back to the Old Testament, you find that darkness indicated each and every one of us. The Bible says, first of all, in the book of 1 Kings, in chapter 8, and in verse 46, there is no one that does not sin. From the very beginning, sin entered the world with the very first man. And generation after generation, man still sinned. The Apostle Paul likewise observed in the book of Romans in chapter 3 and in verse 23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, there was a point in time that each and every one of us once were darkness, when we were living in sin. And what were to happen if we were to continue living in sin? What would the end result be? Well, I believe the Bible makes that very, very plain. The prophet Isaiah told us, if you were to go to Isaiah chapter 59 and in verse 2, he says very well that your sins or your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Our sin or our iniquity is what separates us from God. And what if we continue to live in sin? Then we would continue to be separated from God. And if we were to die in our sins, well, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 27 that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. If we were to be judged living in sin, not having an opportunity to get rid of our sins, we would still be separated from God, not only in this life, but forever, eternally. And that ought to make us very aware of the state that we are in when we are living in darkness. You see, if our sin separates from God and we are in sin, therefore we're in the dark. Because we know very well, according to Scripture, that we cannot be where God is if we sin. Because God cannot be where sin is. And therefore, we go to the work of John to tell us a little bit about his character. In the first letter of John, there in chapter 1, notice what John wrote here in verse 5. In 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 5, John says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. But if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we claim, yes, that Lord, we have fellowship with you, but we are walking in darkness, if I claim to love God and to be with him, but yet I'm not doing what God wants me to do, if I'm walking after my own steps, I'm still in the dark. I am lying and am not practicing the truth." Actions need to be the same as our words. You ever hear the saying, practice what you preach? If we say one thing and we do another, John says we're lying. We're still in the dark. We are not practicing the truth. But God is true, isn't he? And every man is a liar when man does not do what God wants us to do. That's the way it was from the very beginning. Just as God created light physically, we know that spiritually we all need the light. Can you imagine a very dark world? A world in which man continues to live in sin? If you were to go back to the Old Testament, you would find that's the way it was during the days of Noah. Remember how God was sorrowful that he created man on the earth? And the reason was because the Bible says that the thought of man's heart was only evil continually. Man was always walking in the dark, not doing the things that God wanted him to do. But because Noah found grace in the eyes of God, we find that Noah, his wife, their sons, and their wives were all saved from the great flood. Naturally, there has to be someone that can save us from our spiritual flood. When we are in the dark, we need to have someone to show us the true light. And that someone is the true light from heaven, Jesus Christ. Look with me now to the Gospel of John, the first chapter, because here John begins to make that contrast between the darkness and the light. Who is Jesus and what can he do for us? The Gospel of John chapter 1, and let's begin here in verse 4. After explaining about Christ being in the beginning with God, he says in verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Have you ever heard that expression, "I'm in the dark"? And you don't necessarily mean that you're in a room where all the lights are turned off, but rather you just don't understand. You don't know exactly what is going on. And perhaps if you're like me, you're always the last one to get it. Last one to know what the joke is all about. The last one to get the news that's been going around, or perhaps the last one to get the plague that's been around for so long. I can remember when I was a college student, we got so excited when the computers were connected to the dorm net, and I know there's some that can explain all about that, but if you're not careful, you can easily get a virus, and that's why firewalls were installed. And it seemed like my computer was working great for a while, but I kept hearing stories of everybody that had computer problems and had to take it to the dorm net office, and they would work on them and let them know what their problem was. Until about my third year in school, my computer got sick, and I realized what it was. I had finally gotten what had been going around 2 years ago. Yes, I was in the dark. I didn't know what it was all about. But somehow, whatever was started was not ended. And you know, once sin had started, it has not ended. But there is someone that can try to put a stop to it. Someone that can do something about it. We're told the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Sadly, there are those that do not understand who it is or what he is able to do. But yet John goes on to tell us, picking up in verse 6 of John chapter 1, John says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Imagine that. Jesus came to the world, and yet the world did not know him at all. How many times has Jesus entered into a conversation in which he asked, who do men say that I am? And there were many that thought Jesus to be one individual upon this earth. But do you remember when he asked his disciples, but who do you say that I am? Peter confessed, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter knew exactly who Jesus was. And Jesus, as he made himself known to them, they could see God living in him. Jesus even said that if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. And if darkness would see the light, you could see the darkness fading and the light shining brighter and brighter and brighter. He was in the world. And the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. But in verse 11, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. There were those that would not even accept Jesus as being the Christ, the Son of God. There were those that did not listen to what he had to say. And still there are those that would not do what Jesus commands them to do. But in verse 12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Those that truly believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, those that are willing to do what he commands them, those that are born again of God, those that come to the light. One such individual you may think of is the Apostle Paul. But before he was known as Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus. In the books of Acts, chapter 7 through chapter 9, we read of all the problems that Saul made. We saw all the things that he did contrary to the will of God. Until what happened? A light from heaven blinded him. The voice that asked him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he realized that he was not doing, after all, what the Lord wanted him to do. But he made the right decision. He came out of darkness by doing what he was commanded to do. And later then, as Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, you remember again in our text in chapter 5 and in verse 8, he said, you once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Well, how does one go from darkness to being light in the Lord? Well, I believe the Bible makes that very, very plain. The short answer is given by Peter in the book of 1 Peter in chapter 2, there in verse 9. Notice how Peter explains that. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, Peter says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. one calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, how is it then that we are called? Who is it that calls us, and what does he want us to do? Well, you know, I've had a lot of people to call me over the years, ever since I was born. I can remember hearing my mother calling me. Many days as I would get a little bit older, I liked to go outside and play with the neighbors down the street. And you know, as the days got longer, the time got shorter and shorter, it was till it was time to eat. And I don't know about you, but that was one of my favorite times during the day. And you know how I knew when it was time to eat? My mother called me. She would call me by my name, but it was up to me. If I came when she called, then I would be able to eat my supper. But if I did not, I would not reap the benefits. I would not partake of the food which I was called to eat. Well, when we think about who it is that calls us and what it is that we can partake of, think about what we receive spiritually is so much better than what we receive physically. The Lord even called Saul of Tarsus to do something. Later, when he began to recount his conversion, we go back to Acts, the 26th chapter. There, beginning in verse 15, notice what the Lord said to Saul, now known as the Apostle Paul, he recounts. In Acts chapter 26, and in verse 15, he said, "So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you," notice verse 18, "to open their eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." If you want to turn from darkness to light, you've got to turn from Satan unto God. And what is it that you'll receive when you receive that calling? Forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in Christ. You see, Paul was sent to call them from darkness to light, but there was something else that calls them that Paul delivered. What is it? Well, Paul later tells us in the book of 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. There in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, notice in verse 3, he says this to those that received the calling in Thessalonica. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. He says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Imagine the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. How would that compare to us being in the dark? We are called by the power of the gospel. And if we truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, we're willing to repent of our sins. We're willing to confess our faith in Christ, and we're willing to be obedient to the gospel. You can see how we are called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. But how do we get out of the dark? How do we get rid of the sins that we all had, that we all walk in? Well, the Bible is very, very clear, especially in the book of Romans in chapter 6, which we've been looking at perhaps a few times as it relates to the different things that we study. Paul says that just as Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures, so we too die to sin, are buried with Christ in baptism, and are raised again to walk in a newness of life. We die to sin, to the dark. We're raised to begin to walk in a newness of light. That newness of life that we walk in is in the light. You see, we put off the darkness, and instead we put on the day, the true light. Again, Paul would tell the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 5 that you were all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. We are not now, but we were then. Just as he told those in Ephesus, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And if you are light in the Lord, what did he say in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 8? Walk as children of light. If you are now in light in the Lord, you've got to walk as children of light. Well, if we are children of light, and God is light, and in him is no darkness at all, it makes sense then that we are children of God. And how do we become children of God? Well, how do we become children of our parents? Are we not born of them? Didn't Jesus teach Nicodemus in John chapter 3, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven? How are we born again? A man can't enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born, as Nicodemus thought. But Jesus said we must be born of water and of the Spirit. We must be born of water and of the Spirit. We do so, as we talked about, dying to sin, being buried with Christ in baptism, and are raised again to walk in a newness of life. And when we are raised to walk in a new life, we no longer walk in the dark, but now we walk in the light. That's why John said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Just as when we are baptized, we come in contact with the blood of Christ that washes away our sins. When we are raised and begin walking in the light, the blood continues to flow, continues to cleanse us from all sin. And now that I'm walking in the light, I've got to let my light shine, have I not? Didn't Jesus say something to that effect? In the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 5, there and in verse 16, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. If we want others to come to glorify God, we've got to let our light shine. Don't we want everyone else to come out of the dark and into his marvelous light? Well, how do we do so? We've got to show them a little bit of light. We've got to teach them the gospel of Christ. We've got to continue to live faithfully as God has called us to live. Again, we practice what we preach. Everything working together will expose the things that are in darkness. You see, going back to Ephesians chapter 5, Paul went on to say in verse 11, that we must have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Expose the things that are done in the darkness. And how does the darkness become exposed? Well, it makes sense, doesn't it? When the light is shown, a little bit of light can cancel out a lot of darkness. And that's exactly what Jesus came to do. Going back to the Gospel of John, in chapter 3, there in verse 19, Jesus said, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, that and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of creatures that like to live in the dark. And if you're hunting for them, what do? You shine a light on them. And as soon as that light comes on and you see a little creature, what happens to that little creature? Does he stay out? Not usually, does he? He turns around, scurries, and hides back in a dark place. And that's the way a lot of people are today. Have you noticed that the majority of crimes that are committed are done at night? When people cannot see them, when people may not know who they are or what they are doing. And then as soon as they are found out and the report is made and an investigation begins, what happens when the guilty party is arrested? They don't like it, do they? They hate it. Because what they're doing, they realize, is not the right thing to do. And they should not continue to do so. Well, if once we have been living in sin, and realizing that I'm not supposed to be doing that, and I come to the truth, and I begin to walk in the light, I can no longer live in the light. I realize the good things God have done for me, and the things that I need to do and will begin to do. You see, light cannot have any fellowship with darkness. Paul would tell the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6, there, beginning in verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and will walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Don't you want God to be your father? Don't you want to be sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty? Well, I certainly do, but the only way to do that is to come to Jesus Christ. Remember the last verse that was read to us a little while ago? Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Christ is the true light from heaven, to give life to everyone that heeds that calling. Won't you heed that calling today? Come out of darkness into His marvelous light as together we stand and sing.